Think of Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, he's not so meek and mild today because he's talking about false prophets, false teachers, and false doctrine in the church. And this is very, very serious stuff. So we pray that God would bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service. Our opening hymn, number 658, Preserve Your Word, O Savior. That'll be a good theme for our worship service today. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. We do this service a lot on Wednesday nights. The kids love this service, especially the Old Testament and the New Testament canticle. And we have a couple of our members that say, boy, you know, we always do matins for our non-communion service. Can we do that service of prayer and preaching? So for the next few Sunday morning non-communion services, we'll be doing this service. Page 260 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Your word is truth. Help us, Lord God, to hunger and thirst and to sincerely desire your word in its truth and purity. Your word is life. Your word is Jesus Christ, who took on flesh and blood, made his dwelling among us, lived, died, and now lives again, and fills us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Heavenly Father, teach us today and always to cling to the life-giving and life-changing word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 658.
Thank you.
Service of Prayer and Preaching, page 260. Please stand as you're able. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We sing.
The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the well of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Of my salvation, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of God, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his hearts. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. The Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, His holy mountain, within her citadels, God has made Himself known as a fortress. Let Mount Zion of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. This is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
second reading is from Acts chapter 20. Paul said, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that with these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak together the gradual. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Please stand. We speak together God's holy law, the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess the faith of the Christian Church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray as our Lord and Savior Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text that will serve as the basis for our sermon this morning is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 7. What does a false prophet look like? False prophets, they actually look pretty normal. Many false prophets wear white albs. Many false prophets wear clericals. False prophets are faithful in holding church on Sunday and Bible study throughout the week. False prophets, they're kind and caring people. False prophet is the kind of person you'd want to invite over for a beer on Sunday, and a false prophet would kindly oblige. And false prophets, they do many wondrous and mighty works. They volunteer at their local food bank, they are active in their local community, and they generate a lot of goodwill for their congregation. And most of all, false prophets often have big churches with pews bursting with people, and that today is considered to be the greatest work or wonder of them all. Yet today in our text, Jesus warns us about the dangers of false prophets, for he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." You see, false prophets are dangerous, first of all, because they look normal. False prophets, false pastors, look just like normal pastors, if there even is such a thing. The wolf wears the sheep's clothing so that he looks like a sheep and so that he can get close to the sheep within the fold. So also pastors, false pastors, look and act like normal pastors so they can get close to their people. You cannot spot a false pastor with your eyes, because if you try to do so, you won't see him for what he truly is until it's too late. There is only one way to spot a false pastor, and that's not with your eyes, but with your ears. For God's word says from 1 Samuel, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And also, from later in Matthew, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." What comes out of the mouth of a prophet reveals what is truly within his heart, whether he is healthy or not. Out of the mouth of a pastor either comes figs and grapes or thorns and thistles. And the fruits of a pastor, they're not measured by how full the pews are. The fruits of a pastor are not measured by quarterly budget statements. The fruits of a pastor are not measured by how popular he is. These are visible things which man looks at. But the fruit of a true prophet is the same fruit that was produced by all the faithful prophets of old, namely the fruit of repentance. For earlier in Matthew, we are told that the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And also our Lord and Savior Jesus, as he spoke to his disciples right before his ascension, told them that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. The true preaching of God's word, the preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the repentance and faith of God's people that follow, this is the fruit of a true prophet. And only a pastor who has received such teaching, only a pastor who has been properly baptized, believes, and has been truly and properly called, can bear such fruit. For our Lord says today in our text, "So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." A pastor who does not believe in the whole counsel of God, which is the whole canon of God's word and all the doctrines therein, cannot properly teach nor confess them. That is why in the Lutheran Church we take the Bible and the doctrine therein seriously. For errors in doctrine are no small matter, especially for pastors. Every error in doctrine is just like a disease in a tree. The disease doesn't just affect the tree, but the disease also affects the fruit it bears. If a pastor does not believe in all the doctrines of God as found in Holy Scripture and expounded in our Lutheran confessions, they cannot properly convict hearts hardened by sin, nor comfort consciences stained by it. And so such pastors lead their people down the wide and broad path to destruction. So, my friends, what kind of pastor do you want? A true one or a false prophet? Do you want a pastor who will call you to repentance, who will point out your sin and make you feel uncomfortable in the pew? Or do you want a pastor who will just skim over the whole subject? Do you want a pastor who will not budge on God's word, and who will turn away those who are uncatechized from the Lord's table? Or do you want a pastor who doesn't worry about such things? Do you want a pastor who is faithful to God's word of law? Or do you want a pastor who goes with every whim of doctrine that's popular in our world today? What kind of pastor do you want? For my friends, the one thing that turns faithful pastors into false prophets are itching ears who don't want to hear what God's word has to say, but want to hear what they want to hear. For itching ears, they threaten to starve pastors, to persecute pastors, and to kick pastors out of their call if they don't say what they want to hear. Those kinds of ears make pastor choose whether to be faithful to God's word, or choose to not put their fear, love, and trust in God, but to put it elsewhere. So, my friends, what kind of pastor do you want? A good and faithful pastor or a false prophet? For God will give you whatever kind of pastor you want. If you want a false prophet, they're easy to find. There are plenty of men out there who will say nice things, who will tell you what you want to hear, who will not call you out on your sin. But my friends, Jesus today teaches us that if your pastor does not call you out on your sin in this life, then God will hold you accountable for it in the life to come. This is the ultimate reason why Jesus today in our text warns us of false prophets. For he says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." A preacher who is afraid to call his people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ leaves his people to bear their sin and be judged by God for it on the last day. For these words of Jesus are not just for pastors, but they are true for all Christians. And on the last day, those false prophets will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Did we not volunteer in our communities in your name? Did we not fill the church pews in your name? Were we not kind and caring in your name? And God will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. For Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Faithfully holding church and Bible study, volunteering and being kind and caring, these are good things. And having full church pews and full church bank accounts are noble goals for a pastor and his congregation. But what God requires of us first and foremost is that we be faithful to His will, which is to say nothing else, be faithful to His Word, for God's will is found in His Word alone. Therefore, when pastors and congregation abandon God's words in pursuit of these goals, again, they start to go down the wide and broad path that leads to destruction. So, my friends, what kind of pastor do you want? A faithful one or a false prophet? For false prophets, they lead to destruction. But true prophets, faithful pastors, are true gifts from God because they produce good fruit. Not because they're perfect or because they're without sin, but because they speak not their own words, but they speak only the words of the true prophet. They speak only the words of Jesus. For the fruit of a true prophet can only come from the fruit of the true prophet, and that true prophet is Jesus. For Jesus is the true prophet, for because Jesus, and only Jesus, was able to perfectly do the will of His Father who is in heaven. He alone was the healthy tree, the only truly healthy tree, because only He was born without sin, and only He knew no sin. And because of the Father's great love for you, it was the Father's will that His Son become for us the tree that was cast down and thrown into the fire. For on the tree of the cross He suffered the fires and tortures of hell for you and in your place, so that we might not be cut down and cast into the fire, but so that we might find life in Him. By His death He became the stump from which the true vine of everlasting life grew. By His death, He destroyed sin and death forever, and by His resurrection, He became for us the vine that produces good fruit, fruit of repentance and faith, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, fruit that leads to everlasting life. And it is only from this tree, it is only by the work of Jesus that good fruit is produced. For Jesus says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. True prophets, true preachers of the word can do nothing. We can bear no good fruit apart from remaining in Jesus and his words. Yet, as they abide in him and his word, through their faithful preaching and teaching, Jesus here promises to them and to all of us that true good fruit, repentance for the forgiveness of sins, will be worked within us. For Jesus promises that the forgiveness of sins is given through His Word being preached to us, His Word given to us and attached to water and holy baptism, and His Word attached to bread and wine, which is His body and blood. Through these means, God promises and gives to you freely the forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there also is life and salvation. Therefore, beware of false prophets, for you will recognize them by your fruits. Therefore, my friends, know your fruits. For if you don't know what good fruit looks like, you won't be able to tell it the difference between it and bad fruit. You won't be able to tell the difference between a fig and a thorn. or a grape and a thistle. Read and hear God's word so that you will know the difference between good, faithful, and wholesome doctrine, between it and false doctrine. Be constant in going to church. Go to Bible study. Read your Bible at home and teach it to your family and to your children. Listen to your pastor's sermon. If you hear something you don't understand, ask him about it. For it is a joy for a pastor to hear, talk about, and answer questions about God's Word. Hold him accountable to the Word of God, for a true and faithful prophet wishes to be held accountable to it. For a faithful preacher knows that apart from God's Word, he can do nothing. And through this faithful hearing and preaching of God's Word, Jesus, your true prophet, promises that he's at work. For while on the last day he will send away those workers of lawlessness, those false prophets and their listeners, to you whom he has given, faithful preachers, to you whom he has called through holy baptism, to you within whom he has worked repentance for the forgiveness of sins, on that last day, Jesus will instead say to you, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Thanks be to God for his Son, Jesus, our true prophet. Amen. We continue now our service with the hymn, "Thy Strong Word," page 578.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, our true prophet, who speaks a word of truth for you and for me and for the life of the world. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a word of truth that brings forgiveness, life, and salvation would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, page 265 and following. Please stand as you're able. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them. Especially this day we lay before you Donna, Katie, Diane, Charlotte, Celeste, Janet, Ed, Kurt, Larry, Janet, Sherry, Nicole, Ron, Ralph, Cindy, Anna, Scott, Deborah, Karen, Nadine, Louisa, Lori, Lyle, Jake, Al, Arnold, Willis, Dorothy, Sylvia, Bill, Shay, Gary, Arlene, Heath, Jeanette, Sarah, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithfulness to God's holy word, among the pastors called to preach and teach it, and within the congregations committed to their charge as they hear and receive it, that false doctrine would be recognized and rebuked, and that pure doctrine would be taught and received for the edification of all the baptized in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase in faithful church workers, that the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would fill our land and indeed the whole world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of all pretend believers, that they would be led to repentance and faith through the pure preaching of the law and the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We sing.
Christ has been raised from the dead.
Oh,
bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 583, God Has Spoken by His Prophet. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes, and those of you that are racing off, you might want to hang around for just a little bit for the announcements today. That's all I can say. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. On the front page, you got a great list of all the coming events. I don't know that we have had a transformation from the beginning of Vicarage until the end of Vicarage like we have had this year. It is going to be hard to say goodbye to Vicar Short, but it's been a great year. Glad you didn't die. That's always a real strong suit too. But we've got one more week left with Vicar Short. Next Sunday will be his last sermon here. Right after the 10:30 service will be a potluck dinner and farewell. Normally we do this in the evening. We're doing it right after church to accommodate his family so his family can be here. So if at all possible, please join us next week so we can say goodbye appropriately. If you haven't met the new vicar, Vicar Bader is here. You want to raise your hand? All right. Vicar Short, Vicar Tall. That's how you can keep them apart right now. Vicar Bader's family is in Grand Island, so his wife can be with mommy and all that stuff. But 2 weeks from today, we will install him as a new vicar here at Good Shepherd, and we're very, very excited about that. We've got the church picnic coming up. School begins on the 14th. Sunday school rally day will be the 19th. We got lots of stuff. Check out the news and notes for all the details and events therein. All right. We have been praying with regard to the call that we have extended to Pastor Adam Moline with regard to filling the vacancy that we have when Pastor Morundi left. I have a letter here from Pastor Moline. Dear members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we had to wait until after 9 o'clock to make this announcement. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I write today regarding the call to serve as your pastor. I am excited to announce to you that I have decided to accept your call and to serve as associate pastor at Good Shepherd. I desire your prayers as I make preparations to move and to assume my duties of preaching, teaching, and administering the sacraments among you. At the same time, I ask your continued prayers for the congregations of Emmanuel and St. John's Lutheran Churches in Hankinson, North Dakota, as I leave them and as they prepare to begin the search for a new pastor and a time in vacancy. I am tentatively planning my last Sunday in North Dakota to be August 19th and to be installed at Good Shepherd on August 26th, pending communication with the Nebraska District. I look forward to serving among you in the near future. In Christ, Reverend Adam Moline. I think it would be appropriate to let's sing the doxology, shall we?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
That was pretty cool. And especially cool on a day when that second reading talks about the difficulty of saying goodbye to a pastor, and for Pastor Moline to be announcing that he's leaving at the same time those lessons are read. That's a, I guess that's a divine thing. So we've got coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have one opportunity for adult Bible study today. We're winding down our study on the formula of Concord. We're looking at some other false teachings and other false sects. Ties in beautifully with the sermon today. And today we're going to be, believe it or not, looking at the false teaching of the Schwenkfelders. And there are still Schwenkfeldian churches in the United States today, but we would probably know it as a more Gnostic kind of an understanding of the gospel, kind of the Dan Brown, what were those crazy books that he wrote? What? No. That, I mean, those are crazy books too. Tom Hanks starred in the movie Da Vinci Code. Yeah, the Da Vinci Code and all that kind of stuff. That's really where you would see this teaching popping up. And so we'll have some fun with that. We got a sign-up sheet. We can use some help setting up and tearing down with regard to the farewell next week, so that's out there. And I don't know what else to say. What's that? Oh, Sunday school opening. This service of prayer and preaching is short, so I'm sure everybody's going to love it. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about 15 minutes, 9:20 or so. And so we'll have lots of time to visit and eat and drink and celebrate. I think that's all. Pastor Marundi is in Fort Wayne. They're settling in. Thanks be to God. We'll make sure that we get an address in next week's news and notes so that we can correspond with him and encourage him in his new call and new charge. Have a great day and week and life in the truth that is Jesus.